Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord loves us and He speaks to us in the heart. And that's where when He gave me the name of the broadcast called Heart to Heart, I knew what He was talking about. He loves His people, and those that have a heart, that's a good heart, their heart is interested in the Word of God. And when they see the light, they are drawn to it. They make steps to go to where the light is, and they care. They may not be perfect, and they may not be doing what they should do, but they, when the Lord sees people that's responding to light, then it gets the Holy Spirit's attention, and He sends laborers that way, and then they, to help them come to knowledge, and then He works with them until He can get them into faith, and He helps them see Christ and be saved. That's how it works. We don't come to God by ourselves. We have help. We all do. And I thank God. If you can, but some, you know, children can receive God faster than adults in many cases. In most cases. But when parents don't share the word, then they can't do that. And so it's important. You know, Paul wrote in Romans, how can people hear without a preacher? How can they hear without a preacher? And preachers have to be raised up and sent. And he said, pray that the Lord will raise up laborers. Not just call people to preach and they do nothing. Laborers. People that will act on their compassion. You know, compassion is comprised of love and hate. They love what's right and they hate what's wrong. And they hate disaster and they do something about it. Laborers. So, that shows us that God will do nothing. He can't do anything legally until we involve Him. So we need to be praying for Him to raise up laborers. And I love all laborers. I pray for laborers. And to those who are laborers, those that have a mind to be a laborer, take this advice. When God gives you something to do, bless it. Don't just jump into it. Bless it. Pray over it. Proclaim the goodness of God on it. Proclaim the wisdom of God on you. The knowledge of God. Proclaim the knowledge of God on you. Proclaim the counsel of God on you. Receive it. And don't worry about how you feel. If you don't, if you feel weary or if your body's in pain, proclaim the might of God on you as well as the healing. Because if we fail, people will die. If we succeed, people will live. So let's succeed. Succeeding is a choice. And giving up is also a choice. Giving in is a choice. But let's make the choice to obey Him. And don't look at what you'll lose. You will lose something as you obey God. Sometimes people won't understand. And people may do things to harass your life because they don't understand. But do what you got to do because it's important. People have, when you start going against the grain, then you're going to have adversaries or people that will feel like an adversary. They may not understand, but you rise above all those things, right into the perfect will of God. And God is going to be with you, but don't be afraid. He's going to help you manage everything. Everybody that will help you, He'll show you when to let people help you. He'll encourage you beyond what people are doing against you. He'll show you how to love and care for them. And but remember, for every situation, God has the wisdom you need. Just involve Him. Involve God in what you're doing. That's it. So our prayers to, you know, the prayers of the church in obedience to Jesus, to pray for God to send laborers, that's because God wants to do something. He can send laborers, but we need to ask Him. It's our job to involve God. When you pray for others, you're involving God in the situation. When you pray for yourself, no matter what it is, no matter how minute it is, when you pray and ask the Lord for his help, you're involving him, and he can't wait to help people. He's in a hurry to help us. He loves us. But whatever he do, it may not seem like he's in a hurry, but he really is. He has to work with us at our pace. So God is going to do, he's going to begin doing what's wise as soon as you involve him. So the faster you involve God, the better your life will become, because you have to remember time serves the covenant. Time serves the covenant of God. In other words, time itself, it serves the cause of God and the people of God who love God. That's what time serves. Time is an enemy against the world, because the world is not time is not going to last for the world. The world's going to run out of time. So the world system is a failing system that can't world. That, I mean, that can't live. It can't. It's not alive, and it can't survive. And when it runs out of time, it's going to be put in the fire, and time will consume it. Time is going to be a forever punishment against everything in the world, everything that's of the world. You have to detach yourself from the influences of the world. Now, some people, a man that loves greed, he's baited. He believes that greed is going to help him, and it never does. It cannot fulfill his life. He'll spend his hours and his efforts trying to get more and more, and he's steadily running out of time. And he's so into the things that he's doing and the power that he's walking in and whatever he possesses and the lifestyle he's used to, it's distracting him against God. And the enemy uses everything that he's working for to bait him to not get saved, to bait him out of the kingdom or bait him away from the kingdom of God. There are people that will give to a church and never read the word, never seek God, never understand. But those that love, that learn God's ways, they love him. And then when they give, they're rewarded. And, by God, because they took time to get to know the Lord. And there are scriptures about people who love the ways of God. They didn't fully understand, but they did what they could. And that's the one that God sent the laborer to. He sent Peter. He got the best he had and sent him to Cornelius. Cornelius helped them build the temple. He honored the Jews. He loved the cause of God. And this man didn't even believe on Jesus yet. So his heart was towards God. He saw something that he was in love with the ways of God, the sincere ways of God. And then the Lord raised up Peter. And Peter was an apostle, a chief apostle at that. And he sent Peter to Cornelius. He was the one that Jesus said, "On this rock I build my church." On the rock of Revelation, of course. And Peter was the one that strengthened his brothers when they all scattered. God sent the best he had to that man. And I thank God for that. He always sends his best. And this man gave his best, and the Lord sent him his best. And he got saved, and those that were with him in his house. And then he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How about that? Now, we don't know much what happened in the life of Cornelius after that, but I tell you this, it had to be wonderful. Because God moves in the lives of those who love him. And it doesn't matter what calling you have and what gifts you operate in. I'm going to tell you now, those that love God will do the greater works. They finish what they began. They serve their post. They serve God at their post. See, there are some churches, the pastor's going to be rewarded for what he's doing. But some people are more faithful at their post than some pastors are at their post. So God's going to reward those. He pays. Everything is recorded with God. Everything is recorded. Everything is evaluated. And when faithfulness, God will bless faithfulness. And when the Lord sends you to his people who are crying out, always go. Always make sure you're there because it's important. You can preach at a church for years. And sometimes people never study the word. They're not growing. They're not growing on their own. They're being spoon-fed, basically. But then there are those who want to know, who want to understand. They're coming out of darkness and they're trying to break out of it. And when you help them, and when they get full of the love of God and compassion, they're going to do something. Laborers. Everybody's not a laborer. Some people have been saved for years, but they're not laborers. I'm not doubting against people or trying to talk against people, but some people know things that they can do, but they won't do it for whatever reason. But laborers will. And I'm telling you, if you have a mind, I've seen so many people, they have a mind to serve God, but they don't know what to do. And they're not involving God in their works. They're asking God to bless their works. First you receive the work from God. Because he will evaluate you. He will prepare you for it. He will train you for it. And then when he gives you something to do, you're strong enough to begin. And sometimes the Lord will call you to do something, but he won't launch you out until you train. So laborers have to be raised up. You have to know what to avoid. You have to know some things. That's what this broadcast is for. There are many people that have drawn near to God. They have questions. And the Lord raised me up to help people learn how to follow God. See, the work that I'm doing, it can look great in the eyes of some. Some people don't think much of it. I don't know. But this is the thing. It's very important. If you get these things right, then the Lord can pour out whatever anointing you need to do something even greater. You have to understand. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what God has given you. And use what you do have. Receive what, in every ministry and every minister I've been blessed by, they gave me an aspect that I didn't have, that I desperately needed. And I just listened. And we receive salvation, right? We don't earn it. We can't. We didn't do anything to get it. Jesus gave it to us. We just came to a point where we could receive it. And that took a lot of doing. But once we came to the point where we could receive it, then God gave it to us. He always wanted to. We could have received it a long time ago. If we would have, if we weren't distracted by the world and baited into sin and stubbornness and our own will. But once you understand, now you have something to work with. You have a backbone. You have a future. You have hope. Now, how do you go about, as hard as it is to get people to see who God is, how do you go about it? Now, that's where the Holy Spirit comes. He's going to give you the knowledge. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the counsel, which you don't have. And every part of your ministry, he's going to, if you keep involving God, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. If you ever get that proverb down, you can do anything from raising the dead to walking on water. Anything you need to do is there. If you can receive from God, if God can give you knowledge and you embrace it, now you can work. This is something about the revelation knowledge of God. When God gives you understanding, when he gives you counsel, or when he gives you knowledge or wisdom, that's revelation to you. You never had it before. It didn't originate from your mind. He gave it to you in your heart. Your mind is still puzzled. It helps your mind to be renewed. Because your mind monitors what goes in your heart. The way you renew your mind is fill your heart with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will help you connect the dots and put the puzzle of the Word together, and it will renew your mind. and it will work, even if you don't understand how it works. And I'll give you an example. I went to church with my friend Earl. The whole band did. He went to a Baptist church in Tarrant City. And so I picked up a Bible. I had never really read the Word of God by myself. My mother, I would just read the scriptures she would point out to me. And she would give me scriptures to remember. But I never picked it up on my own and read it for myself. I just listened to my dad preach and listened to the Sunday school teachers. And I listened to Reverend Rice. And I didn't even own a Bible for a long time. But I went out and bought one. And my mother gave me a Good News Bible. It was easy to read. And I began at Genesis and I read all the way along. And I learned how the law works. I made it all the way to Psalms. So that gave me a foundation when I went to the Holiness Church. When they did things that was right, I had a reference. I had a greater reference, the Word of God. And when they taught things that were not true, I was able to see it for what it was. Now, if I didn't have that word base, the error that they taught, I would have received it. I would have been believed. See, every time you believe something wrong, it's harder to make adjustments. It takes the anointing. It takes more light to get out of darkness. But I had a reference, and a lot of trouble that others got in, I stayed out of because I had that reference. Now, I'm looking back on those years. How was I able to see things for what they were? I had a reference. That's why I say, fill your heart with the Word of God. Now, I started in Genesis, and the Lord worked with where I started. Once I got saved, I started reading what Jesus said. See, I had made it all the way up to the Psalms. But when I got saved, I said, I need to start reading what Jesus said. So I started every day on lunch. I would read the Gospels. I started with what Jesus said. And sometimes I'd read the book of Acts. Pentecostals love the book of Acts. But they're ministering to people and helping them get acquainted with Christ who they know. That's what they were doing. And they had harassment from the deceived Jews who were trying to get them back into Judaism, back under the law, even after the veil in the temple had been torn in half from the bottom up. See, God was doing greater things. Jesus fulfilled the law. So I went back to see what Jesus taught his apostles. And I would read other books too, but mostly I had to get a firm understanding of what Jesus was teaching and what he said and what he wanted out of me. I said, if I dedicate my life to my Savior, Jesus Christ, then I'm going to obey him. Now, I didn't always agree with him. That were things that I'm looking at it from my point of view. You know, especially when Jesus said, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other. I had a little problem with that, but I had decided that I was going to obey Jesus, whatever he said. And some things were beyond my mind and imagination. And that wasn't the way I would do it. But I said, I trust him for salvation. I'm going to trust him for everything. And I endeavored to do that. And that helped me stay out of a whole lot of other troubles. It also gave me a reference for who, and what, see, when you, some the things that don't make sense, just receive it. Some things are easier to receive because of your personality, and some things are harder to receive because of your personality, understanding, culture, where you come from. So I made some adjustments. And as I continued to learn and make adjustments, I grew from glory to glory. And I saw why Jesus said it. As I practiced it, I wouldn't have never known to do this on my own. But it works. Everything that Jesus said, it always, my friend, exceeded my expectation. Now, when you live the life of God, you're helping people have a reference for the ways of God, the heart of God. you're showing people who God really is. And they can enjoy the life of God. They can see what he's saying. They can receive what God is saying. They can be blessed by him. He can be involved. Now, there are many distractions out there, and last week we covered some of them. We talked real heavy about the doctrine of sanctification. It sounds good on paper, but it's just as evil as what the Jews were doing. Because, see, if you get people to focus on their works instead of focusing on Jesus, they can't grow anymore. And they'll grow wild. If you plant a garden and put weeds in it, then it's going to take away from what you really want. Your carrots are going to be small. Your tomatoes are going to be small if they make it. The weeds will consume everything that the good plants need, and the evil plants will suck up all the nutrients, and you won't have any fruit, or you'll have very weak fruit. This is what the enemy has done in the church. In Acts, the rogue Jews, they stoned Stephen, and Stephen preached a synopsis of the whole Word of God at that time by the Holy Ghost. And this was what helped Paul see greater lights. Jesus saw him on the road of Damascus and knocked him down. When he saw the light, he fell backwards. He walked right into the glory of God and fell on the ground. And all of his men scattered. And Jesus said, and he's asked Jesus, "Who are you, Lord?" That's when he got saved. He believed. When he called Jesus Lord, from that point on, he was a changed man. And Jesus said, "Why do you kick against the priest?" He was on his way to arrest Christians, put them in jail. This is why we have his writings. He couldn't be there to preach it himself. He had to write from jail. See, the laws of sowing and reaping still apply. God will work with it. And it worked out well because other apostles could go where they needed to be and preach what they needed to preach. And if they were writing something, Peter wrote to other churches when he couldn't go. But Paul had to do it from the confines of a jail. So he had to write from jail. We got the Bible. We got his letters to the churches. So, don't ever think you, don't ever, if you, if it looks like you can't make it, or if it looks like you can't win, that's just a lie. Involve God, and he'll take that in. You're going to learn this for yourself. One day you will. No matter how you, I'm not saying bad things are going to happen. But whatever happens, and it looks impossible, understand that you're about to see the handiwork of God. All as long as you have enough sense to involve him. Some people don't have enough sense to involve him. They worry, they fret. They pray for it, but they don't involve. See, you can pray and tell God all your problems and ask him to bless what you're doing and never involve him. But if you say, "Lord, what is my wisdom?" Now you're being subject to him. When you follow God, you're subject to him. But the pride of man tries to get God to get on board with their ideas. "Lord, help me win souls over here." Well, God, did God send you over there? Do the people want you to come over there? Instead, they could be winning souls for real. "Lord, whatever you want to do, help me do all that's in your heart." Now, you involve God. Now, if you're doing something that he told you to do and you run into an obstacle, say, "Lord, what do I do now?" You're still following God. But when you say and think in your own mind, "I got this," you are not following God. You're trying to get God to bless what you're doing. I thank God that he works with us. And miracles can happen from those things, but nothing compares to what God originates and what God gives you to do versus what you originate trying to get God to bless. Now, once God tells me what to do, then I bless it. To keep him in control, to keep him involved, to keep me on board with him. I'm not trying to get him on board with me. And sometimes people try to get me on board with them. I'm not trying to get on board with them. If they ask me to help them do something, I go and ask the Lord, what is my wisdom for this? What should I do? Then God give me what to do. Then I help them. That's the protocol. And that's how it works. So, it works. When you involve God, it works. Everything works. You don't have to worry, fret, worry. It's easy with God on board. When you're on board with God. But when you're trying to get God to be on board with you, you know, it's not going to be the same. The Lord appeared to Paul and Silas, Barnabas and Paul, saying, don't speak a word in Asia. And then a man appeared praying, asking them to come to them. I think it was Antioch. I forgot. You know, I don't remember every detail, but I remember that the Lord gave him a vision. The man was praying that they'd come. The man was praying, and the Lord showed Paul what he was praying. He showed him a vision. They didn't know how to get in touch with the apostles. They were praying for insight. And the Lord sent the laborers to him. If they went to Asia on their own, it probably would have went south. See, that was a man, a missionary. He had a heart and passion for God, but he was untrained. And he went in the bush to preach to tribes people, and they killed him. He chartered a plane, went down there, or bought a plane and flew down there. I forgot how, but he went on a plane. He got to this remote place and tried to preach, and they killed him. And then they made a movie about it. Now, in those days, that's what people did. The art of going in the prayer room until God give you an assignment is not popular anymore. Only among people who know God is that popular. But most people, mainstream preachers, they stopped doing that a long time ago. Not all. God always has a remnant. And if anybody that's still doing that, they are a remnant. That should be all forms of ministry. See, when man does it, it's going to be what you're used to. People, they can't go beyond their vision. God has to usher you into greater visions, and people don't know that either. He's going to show you what's necessary. He's going to have you do something that's never been done before. And I can prove it. My Living Letter Ministries, that's something that God gave me. I didn't even know what to call the letters. I said, this is new. And when the first one was called Coming to Life, and thoughts started coming like a message. So I got my pen and started writing it down. Now, most of the time God would give me a message. In the early days of my ministry, the first few years, he'd give me from 87 all the way up to 91, he'd give me a title. Something to bank off of. Then he gave me scriptures and thoughts to go with it. This time, he gave me thoughts, and I started writing them down. It took me a moment to go get my notebook, but the thoughts kept coming. So I got my notebook, and I started around number 8, and I wrote it down all the way to the end, and I knew it was the end. Then he gave me the beginning. And I went back and wrote the beginning all the way down to number 8. And I looked at it. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, Coming to Life. I wrote that. And I told my wife in those days, I said, I don't know what this is. It's like a poem. It didn't seem to be a message when I wrote it down. And I didn't even know what to do with it. So I went and asked my mother. I said, Mama, look at this. And she read it. She said, that's a sermon. I said, it don't seem like a sermon. She said, that's a sermon. But it wasn't a sermon I could preach somewhere. So I did what most Christians do. It's so new and different. I left it in my notebook for months. And I let the right person read it. He said, man, go and get this typed up and run me off a copy. That was the first living letter. So I did so. I went to Office Max or Office Depot, I think. Anyway, in Crestwood, they made 100 copies. That week, my uncle died. And I let my cousin read one. I gave Dennis one. Dennis Morgan, I gave him one. See, he inspired me to get it typed up and take it to the get copies made. So I gave my cousin one. I gave Wayne Griffith one. And he read. He said, man, this will bless the family. Give everybody a copy. So I passed them out. And then the Lord gave me another word. And see, faithfulness is how this works. When you act on what God give you to do, he's going to give you more and open doors. And I wrote, it got to a point, I wrote a living letter every day. And every time I went to church, they'd be saying, what you got? Because I used to pass them out.